We're picking up our story in John chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 22 in just a moment. And so we've been paying attention. Our whole purpose, the conversation has been, as we're going through the Gospel of John, we're paying attention to two things about Jesus. Number one, what Jesus did, and two, what Jesus said. So what Jesus did and what Jesus said. Paying attention to those two things through John's Gospel. The last couple of weeks, we've really looked at what Jesus did. He walked on water. He fed 5,000 people more than 5,000 people with some bread and some fish. In these next 2 weeks, we're going to look at not just what Jesus did, but it's all about what Jesus said. And we're going to pick up the story in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 22. In the booklet, it's on page 31. The pericope, or the heading, paragraph heading, says Jesus, the bread of life. John 6, verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" The people were looking for Jesus. Our story had been that he had fed the 5,000, and then more than 5,000, then he had walked on water. Disciples left in the boat without him, got about 4 miles away from the shore. In the middle of a storm, Jesus walks on the water, gets in the boat, they arrive to the other side. This is unbeknownst to the people. The people knew that the disciples had left and Jesus wasn't in the boat. And they're looking for Jesus, and they're looking in the wrong place. And sometimes people do that even today. We look for Jesus, we look for God in the wrong places. And they asked Jesus this question, "When did you get here?" They were aware of the timeline. They would have noticed the wind on the lake of the Sea of Galilee. Would have been a tough night crossing. Knew that Jesus wasn't with the disciples. Didn't see any other boats around. But their assumption is that somehow he had got there in a boat. They simply say, "When did you get here?" They're oblivious completely to that he has walked on water. They didn't say, "How did you get here?" And sometimes the miraculous things of God are just so far beyond anything that we could even consider that what God can do. Scripture tells us this in Ephesians, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, versions will say, or even imagine, dream, conceive of, according to the power that works in us mightily. But it's just, it doesn't even show up on their radar of how Jesus got there. Let's continue reading verse 26. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man," he's referring to himself, "that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." And they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus doesn't answer the question about when he arrived, but rather he directs their attention and directs our attention to the people's arrival. You're here because of the free food. That's why you're here in this moment, is because of what I just did, because of the multitudes being fed by the 5 loaves, 2 fish. You're here because I fed you, but you didn't understand the miraculous sign. You saw it, you participated in it, you were a recipient of it, but you didn't understand it. You didn't understand the miracle. You're here focused on free food, like the crowd at Costco trying to get a free sample. Have you been there when the frenzy goes on? Those poor, there are a lot of jobs that I don't want to do. I think that's one of them. It's just, people are so demanding. And the poor person trying to put out the samples and on and keep the kids from coming. You're here because you got the free food, not because you understood the miracle. And I don't know, it doesn't say this, but I don't know how they would respond, but you'd almost think, we didn't understand the miracle. How hard is it to understand? You fed a bunch with a little lunch. We got it. What's the message in that? Look at what you can do. A few months ago now, when we started the going through the Gospel of John, I explained there's a difference between a miracle and a sign. There were so many miraculous things that Jesus did that they're just not all recorded. We've got a handful, comparatively, of the things that Jesus did, the miraculous. But there are things that he does in the book of John. In fact, there are 7 of them that are signs. It's not just a miracle, but it's a sign pointing to his divinity, testifying of who he is, that he's the Son of God. There are 7 signs. In fact, there are 7 statements that we're going to come on. We're going to hear the first one in a moment. There are 7 statements where Jesus says, I am. I am. These signs that point to his divinity, when he talks about, you saw the sign, you didn't understand the miraculous. We've just seen 2 of the signs that point to his divinity. One is the walking on water. The other was just a step back before that multiplying the bread. But he says you didn't understand the signs, or this, the miraculous sign. Shortly, he's going to make this statement about I am. We're going to hear the first one. But Jesus will direct the people. Don't be so concerned about things that perish, like food, about this temporary food. You're here because of the food. Don't let your life be focused on such temporary things. Your real concern needs to be about eternal life. And that's where Jesus continues to direct us. Continues to direct us to things of eternity, not temporal things. I think we will discover as we look through the Gospels, Jesus' instruction to us in not so many words is this: only give temporary attention to temporary things. Only give temporary attention to temporary things. I remember years ago doing a youth Bible study. A guy by the name of Barry St. Clair wrote some books that we walked the kids through. And one of them had to do with this phrase, when you're in trouble, when you've got problems. And he said this: glance at the problem and gaze at God. Glance at the problem and gaze at God. Too often we glance at God and gaze at the problem. You glance at the problem and gaze at God looking for the answer. Don't let your life be consumed with things that are temporary. Jesus will say to them, I can give you eternal life, the one who God has sent. And he says, and God has signed off on that. God has set his seal of approval on me. I can offer you eternal life. And it begins to look like they understand, and the nuances, it's not clear, but they transition, and it looks like they're saying, well, you're saying that you're performing God's works, the miraculous, that you can give eternal life, that his seal is upon you. We want in. let us have God's favor on our lives. And they say this: what do we need to do to perform the miraculous? And they use this word perform. And there's a problem in that, because perform has to do with what do we need to do? How do we need to earn this? How do we need to accomplish this, that we can do God's works and that we can have his approval so we can deserve it? Now, the version you're reading is the New Living Translation, but in the New King James Version, it phrases it differently. It says, what can we do that we can work the works of God? What do we need to do that we can work the works of God? Working, the effort, the involvement, the laboring. What do we need to do to work the works of God? It's this understanding. You get this. We go to work, and what do at work? We work, or we have coffee, or we do a lot of things. But primarily, you work at work. They're two different things. You actually do something. You're doing the work at this enterprise, this business, this establishment, whatever it is, called work. And they're saying, what do we need to do? What effort do we need to put in? What do we need to accomplish that we can be a part of the enterprise of what God is doing? And Jesus will reply to them something that would be so very hard for them to hear, and sometimes it's very hard for us to hear. He will say, this is what you need to do. Here is the work that you need to do. Believe in the one God sent. Believe. That's it. Here's your starting and finishing place. Believe. Don't labor, but believe. A little later on, I guess we're in John chapter 6, at the end of his gospel, John will say this: these things are written to you that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you have life in his name. John's gospel. This is why all of this was written, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, you'll have life in his name. Just simply believe. I didn't see it yesterday. I watched two football games yesterday, and I didn't see it once, but I used to see it a lot. Somebody holding up a sign. John 3:16. You used to see it so often, John 3:16. And why? I remember in grade 5 when the Gideons came. In fact, that's what this Bible is, from the Gideons. It's not called Gideons anymore. They're called Share Word. But in grade 5, we used to get a Bible in school. And they told us we're going to read one verse and had us open to John 3:16. And I remember saying, oh, I know that one. And they thought, well, and they said, just, we're going to read it anyway. They know it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would put in enough effort, who would work hard enough, would go to church enough, would tithe enough, would, what's the word? Believe. That whosoever would believe would have everlasting life, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Clearly, he's talking about believing in himself, because they say, believe in you, show us a sign. You still got crumbs on your cheek. What do you mean? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. And Jesus will reply, show you a sign. You're looking at me. You've seen me. And you still don't believe. You've just come from the bread buffet on the other side of the water. And then they make the connection. They say, you know, Moses fed the people of God in the wilderness for 40 years with bread. Great, you did this once. Can you do it again? Show us something else. Moses, it was 40 years that Moses provided bread in the wilderness. If you are the prophet like Moses that we're waiting for, that Scripture talks about, that God will send a prophet like Moses, if you're saying this is who you are, that we need to believe in you, that you have eternal life to give, then make it rain sourdough. Like, let's see it again. You did it once, Moses, it was 40 years. And Jesus will take them, even though they're talking about a scriptural story, he will bring clarity to their miscommunication of the scripture. He will say, it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread in the wilderness. The scripture that they're referring to, it says he gave them bread in the wilderness. If we go back to the text, the he is not referring to Moses, it's referring to God, that he fed them. And Jesus will take them to that. He said, Moses didn't give you the bread. Moses couldn't give you the bread. In the wilderness, he didn't have an easy bake oven in his tent. Moses couldn't do that. He says, my father provided for you. The Father gave you bread from heaven. And he says, and now he offers you true bread, not bread that perishes, not bread that sustains your physical life, not manna. As we follow the text, you can hear Jesus saying, I tell you the truth. Listen carefully to this. Essentially he's saying, no, I'm going to say it slowly. The physical bread came down from heaven from the Father. So the spiritual bread comes down from heaven from the Father. He breaks it down from them, for them. And I don't know what the transition is. I don't know what they're understanding or they're not understanding. But suddenly they're all in. Give us this bread. Okay, give us this bread. We're in. Give us this bread. This version will say, or New King James will say, every day. One says every day, the other says always. Give us this bread always. Give us this bread every day. And I mean, what a connection continuing to Moses, who got bread every day, got manna every day. What a connection to Jesus teaching the disciples, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this. I would like this. It reminds me of a conversation that we read about a woman at a well just a couple chapters ago, who, when Jesus talks about this water that he has that will spring up into life, after the woman says, you don't even have a bucket to draw water from this well. The well is deep. How are you going to do this? And he begins more to talk about her. If you knew who it was that was talking to you, if you knew the gift of God who was talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you this water. She says, sir, give me this water. Please give me this water that I don't have to come back here and draw anymore. And here Jesus is talking about the bread of life. And they say, okay, give us this bread always. Verse 35, Jesus replied, and here it is, the first of the I am statements, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. We're going to come back to that. To do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who sees his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Verse 41, the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. I don't know if you write in your Bible or underline it or highlight it or memorize it. That is a thing to live by. Stop complaining about what Jesus said. Stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. For everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. We're going to conclude with this last line for today. Verse 47. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. If you come to me, if you believe in me, you will never be hungry or thirsty again. Woman at the well, you asked me for this water. People in the crowd, I'm the bread of life. You're longing for eternal life. You're longing for connection with God. You're longing for things, something more than this world has to offer. That will be satisfied if you come to me and believe. Loved ones, listen. This is what he's saying. The hunger of your soul, the hunger and thirst of your soul will be satisfied in me. What that deep longing inside of you will be satisfied in me. But you've got to come to me and you've got to believe. And that is as true today as it was back then when he said it. You've got to come to me and you have to believe. See, there are people who came to him just because looking for the next meal. You've got to believe. The crowd said, show us a sign. You've already seen me. You've come, but you haven't come believing. You're looking for something temporal. I don't know. It just seems to me like the crowd is gathered and it's just kind of, waiter, more bread, please. That's that. The attitude is we've got to find. I'd like some more bread, please. There will always be some who don't believe. You've got to come to me and believe. There will always be some who don't believe. We even see that at the ascension. After Jesus, after the resurrection has taken place, he's raised from the dead. He's about to ascend to the Father, ascend to heaven. It says, and they worshipped. Do you know what it says right after, and they worshipped? But some doubted. Right in there in the moment after the resurrection, they said, ascension. They worshipped, but some doubted. There will always be some who doubt. Jesus says, Everyone the Father gives me will come to me and I won't reject them. Jesus said, I won't reject you. If you come in sincerity and believing, I won't reject you. The door is open wide. Jesus says clearly that he's come down from heaven, the bread of life, to do God's will, not his. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even though that's often where we look for that phrase, Jesus saying, not my will, but thine be done. Let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will. That wasn't the first time Jesus prayed that. It's not the first time he declared that. As he starts the Lord's Prayer, you know, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in this passage of John chapter 6, he's talking about, I came to do his will, not mine. And he's saying that the whole purpose of his coming is to bring eternal life to people. That's God's will, that none would be lost. And we know that Peter will tell us that again. And throughout Scripture, we discover God doesn't want any to be lost. And Jesus says, on the last day, I'll raise them up, meaning death does not have the final word. So that's when I announce that Margaret has gone to be with the Lord, that even though it feels like the end, it's not the end. Because death won't have the final word. One of the I am's that we'll look at later, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in him, even though you die, yet shall you live. And in this context, as Jesus has been talking about this, the people begin to murmur and complain. Just like in the context of Moses, as bread was provided from heaven, from God the Father. Listen to their complaint way back in the book of Numbers. It reads like this. And when the people spoke against God and against Moses, They said this, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread." This bread from heaven, God's provision, the bread from heaven. Why have you brought us here to die? This is it? This was your plan to bring us here? Why have you brought us here? There's no food, there's no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. And sometimes we see that today in rejecting of Jesus. We're hungry and we're thirsty, but we don't want this bread. We don't want the bread God has provided. No, thank you. Their complaint was this. Jesus is saying he came down from heaven. Come on, get a grip. We know his parents, Joseph and Mary. How can this be? He's either lying or he bumped his head. And Jesus stopped them. And he said that phrase that I stopped on earlier. Stop complaining about what I said. Stop complaining about what I said. I talked to you about coming to me, the bread of life, and coming and believing you will have eternal life. It's not something to complain about. It's something to respond to. But if you're going to respond, Jesus says, if you're going to respond, God, it has to be God drawing you to me. There has to be work of God's Spirit drawing you to me. And if God draws you, here's the deal. If God draws you, if God leads you, it's going to end up at me. If God is drawing you, if God is leading you, if you are really seeking God, it's going to end up at me, the bread of life. If you're following God, God will teach you, God will lead you, and you will end up with me. Jesus quotes this verse from Isaiah 54. New Living says, they will be taught of the Lord. The verse in Isaiah 54, it reads this way. It's talking about the redemption of Israel. It's talking about the redemption of the people of God. It's talking about a better future from what they've had in their past. And it says this, all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. It's this beautiful phrase, all your children will be taught of the Lord, and great will be the peace of your children. Isaiah 54, there's a few more verses, and then it leads right into Isaiah 55. Listen to what it says, just in that same context. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. For why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. It's this beautiful invitation to come. If you're seeking God, if you're led by God, God will lead you to me. To Jesus is what he's saying. God will lead you to me. And I want to conclude today's message. Remember, we're simply paying attention to what Jesus said with this last line. Verse 47, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. And that's why the thief on the cross did enough to be a follower of Jesus. He had nothing else to offer, but he could only believe. And only believing was enough. Believe in Jesus, and you'll have eternal life. Biblical believing doesn't mean just acknowledging with some kind of mental assent or acknowledgement that God exists, that Jesus is the Son of God. But biblical believing has to do with placing your faith and your trust in that truth, in that person. Scripture will tell us that the demons believe that God exists and tremble. But the belief that we're talking about, it's coupled with this, come to me and believe, and you'll have eternal life. I'm going to invite our worship team to join me. We're going to pray. Jesus, thank you so much. that we look at these stories of the miraculous, whether it's walking on the water or feeding the multitude of people, that somehow it wasn't just, you're not some huckster magician doing tricks to entertain a crowd. Jesus, the miraculous took place in and through your life. You worked the miraculous, but not just somehow to draw a crowd. So many times you sent the crowd away. But the miraculous took place to show us a sign of who you are, that you are the bread of life, that you are the living water, and that if we come to you, we would have eternal life. So Jesus, we do come to you and we believe. Even as John led us, we believe. And we pray that you would help us to take the message of the good news to a world that so often feels like the church is condemning them, the church is judging them, the church has passed sentence already on them. God, help us to bring the message of hope and of faith that you love us so much that if we would come to you, if we would believe, we'd have everlasting life. We would not perish, but that life would begin right now, abundant life with you. God, help us be those who will invite others to believe. In Jesus' name we pray.